I've had to close out my own revival once before. Evangelists had to take off early. Never had to start one before. And what do you preach on the first night of a revival, especially when you're the pastor? What do you say? What direction do you go? A lot of times we would probably hear on the first night of revival meeting a message on prayer. Prayer being the key to revival. Last spring, I think Brother Newton was here and he spent a couple of nights talking about, at least a portion of what he was talking about was interpersonal relationships. And I suppose that somewhat what I have this evening goes along with what that would be. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Quite often we do think, and it's true, that prayer is the key or a key to revival. We're not going to have revival just by going through the daily motions. I have down in my study article after article and several books involving the subject of prayer and how it is so important to see revival. Not just a now lay me down to sleep or a God is good, God is great prayer. Sometimes we've heard it called intercessory prayer or travail in prayer, carrying a burden in prayer. And that is vital. I'm not taking away from that this evening at all. But I believe that Jesus gives us a very distinct and clear key for revival. Or at least a very distinct, clear key to see Him come and do what we ask Him to do. Look at it with me here. Just two verses. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three agree... Some of you look up right there. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now you might say that I messed up there and read the word agree instead of gathered. But it really goes hand in hand. The first thing, though, that really stands out in this passage is the pivotal point. The two-letter word that pivots everything else. If. That's a big word. The Old Testament revival text that so often is taken. If my people, which are called by my name. See, that word is such a big word. Only two letters, small, insignificant, and yet it holds such a huge part as a pivot to anything else that goes on that God wants to do or is asked to do. If my people which are called, if two of you shall agree. That's a big aspect there. That's a big condition, if you will. If you pray, He will hear. Is the implication the same thing on the other side? If we don't pray, He won't hear? If we don't seek Him, does that mean we won't find Him? We probably don't have too big of an argument there to say, that's right, that's what it is. If we don't seek Him, we won't find Him. If we don't pray, He won't answer. Now there are times that you and I will argue that and say sometimes He answers prayer before we have time to call. Aren't you glad for those times? But when it comes to revival, when it comes to God moving among us, when it comes to seeking Him for the things that we have need of in the way of revival and the moving of God or the salvation of souls, quite often it's going to take more than just that, well, He answered before I had time to pray. There's that big pivot there, the if part that comes into play. But then the second aspect, or the second condition that we find in this passage, is just as great and just as large or as important as that pivotal point, if. If two shall agree. Now Christ is taking the lowest possible number here to show fellowship. We don't have to have a huge amount. We don't have to have an excessive amount of people that are brought into this. It's simply the smallest number that is possible, if two. Now, it's obvious tonight that we have more than two. There's 100 or so. Okay, so what do we do with that? We have to bring it into context that Jesus is talking to the people that are involved, the people that are seeking, the people that are asking, the people that are pleading with God for something, that they fall into the context of the verse, whether it's 2 or 100. And the context of the verse is in the word that we find in the King James that is translated here, the word agree. Now I understand, I'm told that that word agree in the original language has to do with another word that we use often in the realm of music. And that would be the word symphony or symphonic, harmonious. Symphonic means harmonious in sound. Symphonious means agreeing, especially with regard to sound, or harmonious. So it all ties in there, whether it's symphony, symphonic, symphonious, harmonious, harmony. Two young ladies singing had good harmony. They blended well. I've never tried it. I'd like to do it sometime, but I'm told that if you take a tuning fork in a place where they have all those bottles or tubes or whatever that are tuned to certain tunes, certain keys, and you take a tuning fork, let's say the tuning fork A, and you strike that, all of the other things in that room that are tuned to that will resonate with that, even though they're never touched by that tuning fork. You can hit that tuning fork and they will respond in kind. Now, I've never heard that. But I've heard about it, but I've never heard it with my own ears. That sounds incredible. I think I shared one time here, I'm not sure for positive, but was it in a district chorus when I was in high school? I forget how many voices there were. There was hundreds of voices in that choir. It was a huge, huge choir, district chorus in the public school. We all had our part, you know, everybody, all the basses sing the bass, and all the tenors sing that tenor, and the altos, and the soprano, you have that four-part harmony. But when you come to certain parts where the harmony might be tight, and it's close, and everybody's on pitch, there's what they call an overtone that comes over that you can hear. It makes it sound like there's actually five voices singing, or five parts being sung. I think that we were able to hear it during that district chorus. The director was pointing it out to us, and we would do our best to sing, but listen as well. And there was something different about it. There was a tone that came above and beyond because of what they were calling perfect harmony. The pitch, the agreeance with everybody that was on the same note in the striking of the tuning fork. And so if that's the case, if that is what Jesus was referring to in this particular context and in this particular verse, then it seems to me that when the note is rung, the tune has been extended, that all of our heart would resonate with that same thing. But if there are differences, not differences of opinion, we'll never make it past that. But if there are differences that hinder within our spirit, then that resonating cannot happen. That was one of the things that stood out in my mind as a question during the ministerial convention last week. Brother Snyder was talking about all of these church history people, these individuals that had an impact on the doctrines of the church that we hold today. You know, there's Finney and Wesley. They disagreed on some things, but there was a friendship, or there was a kinship in the midst. Phoebe Palmer and Finney would probably be two better names to use together. There were so many other people, and my mind's going blank on some of these names at this point, but so many people that differed in some of their detailed doctrinal issues, but they had such tremendous fellowship that it didn't matter. It didn't go against the Spirit of God moving in their midst. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, if two of you shall agree on earth, if two or the group that is there shall agree and be harmonious, be in that symphonic sort on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. There's that same context going on there into the larger crowd. Two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst. You see, God is only able to move in the fullness in which He would like to move when the people that are gathered together are harmonious, are in harmony, are working together for the same cause. Working together to see God come. Working together to see a fire of revival begin to burn fresh and anew in our midst, in our lives, in our own personal heart. I want to see God come. The symphony of agreement. The symphony of agreement. Before we go home tonight, I'd like for us, those that can and will or able to just to gather up around the front and have family altar. Let's seek God together for revival. There's a lot of needs around us. I want us to focus mainly on revival tonight. I want us to focus upon seeing God come, melding our hearts together, blending us together, making us really, really that sort that He could look down and say, there's a symphony of my children. See God move among us. There are other needs around us. The Snyder mentioned as he came in that his daughter will be having surgery tomorrow morning. It's a fairly extensive surgery. Let's remember her in prayer tonight. The Lord would touch her. Let's also continue to pray for Stephen Wyford. Did get somewhat of a better report yesterday, last evening. Seems like his insides are waking up. He still has a ways to go. And the Lord knows the needs there. I'm sure Brady would appreciate us remembering him in prayer. And Faye Clark and Faye Albright. And on we can go here with a number of needs and people around us. Some aren't feeling well. let's just ask God to help these, but let's focus in on being a symphony praying for revival. Those of you that can and will, let's gather in. And let's seek God's face tonight before we go home. I trust that God would have His way.